Morning, church. We thank the Lord that we are able to tune into our weekly online worship and listening to the Word of God. We have been preaching on the book of Acts, and today we are at Acts 21, verse 1 to 15, where Paul was at the end of his third missionary trip on his way to Jerusalem. Have we often find ourselves at a crossroad, having to make a major decision, be it which course to take, which job to choose? Is this the right person to marry? Should I take the long-term overseas assignment offered to me? Should we serve the church as a small group leader, or perhaps Sunday school teacher, or even when the board came together to seek God's direction for the church? I believe many of us as God's children, deep in our heart, we seek to do God's will. But we are not sure if sometimes our own will get into the way in our decision making. Whether our plan, our intention, our desire are in alignment with God's will or not. I have entitled this morning message as Our Will or God's Will, which I believe will be very relevant to all of us in our spiritual walk with the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the word given to us to teach, rebuke, correct, and train us in righteousness, to thoroughly equip us for every good work. May your Spirit lead and guide us this morning to truly understand what it means for your will to be done. Amen. We look at the background this morning passage. Paul's heart for church planting prompted him to undertake the third missionary trip, recorded in Acts chapter 18, verse 23 to 21. 16. His aim is to strengthen the existing believers and establish solid leadership so that these churches could stand strongly by themselves. We understand from the other parts of the scripture, Paul was likely to spend about 5 years in Corinth and Ephesus in this trip, sowing and planting the words of God in their lives. The event described in today's passage marked the end of Paul's missionary trip. We understand from Acts 19:21 that Paul was convicted to go to Jerusalem and after that to Rome. He has the burden from the Spirit to bring the financial collection from the Gentile believers to the Jewish believers with the intent to unite them together. He also has the burden to bring the gospel to Rome. We also see in Acts 20, verse 22 to 23, that he shared with the Ephesian elders that he was compelled to go to Jerusalem by the Spirit, warning him of many forthcoming persecution and suffering. We understand that there were two groups of committed believers through the leading of the Spirit have warned Paul not to go to Jerusalem. The believer in Tyre, seen in verse 4, we've seen there that and through the Spirit, they were telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem. These were disciples who loved the Lord and loved Paul. They were warned by the Spirit of the danger Paul will be facing in Jerusalem, so they told Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Next, we see a prophet named Agabus. So you read in verse 10 to 11, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea, and coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, "Thus say the Holy Spirit, this is how the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owned this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, Agabus here was not a Tom, Dick, and Harry prophet. He was a good, proven, and reliable prophet. 15 years ago, recorded in Acts chapter 11, he prophesied that there will be a great famine over all the world. As a result, the disciples determined to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. It is interesting to note that the church in Antioch assisted the church in Jerusalem. The daughter church had grown enough to be able to help the established church in time of famine. Today, we want to thank the Lord for also giving Bethany the burden to send relief to the church we have been planting in Yangon, Yama, to support them during this challenging time of COVID-19, as many of them are not able to work due to the lockdown. In verse 12, you also see here that when we heard this, we and the people there urged him not to go up to Jerusalem. The "we" here refer to the author of Acts, which is Luke himself, and Paul's missionary companion. So you see here, even people who are very close to Paul felt led to discourage Paul from going into Jerusalem. Question: did Paul disobey the Holy Spirit here by going to Jerusalem? Most Bible scholars do not think so. More likely, the Holy Spirit warned these disciples, believers, about the suffering that Paul would face in Jerusalem. They then drew the conclusion that Paul should not go because of the danger. But Paul, on the other hand, was convinced that the Holy Spirit had actually compelled him to go to Jerusalem, even though he knew he will face the persecution and suffering there. John Stott pointed out that we need to draw a distinction between a prediction and a prohibition. In their love for Paul, his friend who wanted him to avoid persecution and danger. This actually echoes Peter's rebuke to Jesus recorded in Matthew 16, verse 21 to 23. When Jesus began to explain and prepare his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hand of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and be killed, and rose again on the third day, Peter took Jesus aside and rebuked Jesus, saying, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Do we, in our genuine concern for our friends or loved ones, sometimes with good intention, warn and protect them from the danger or suffering to God's calling in their lives? Do we have the tendency to counsel people not to go to politically dangerous countries, even if the Lord calls them for his mission there? It seems that the believers' concern here actually became a stumbling block to Paul's willingness to submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit. See how Paul responded to this good intention. "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart?" Paul was very clear in his mind and heart that nothing would stop him from following the leading of the Spirit. Paul insisted that he was ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. He was willing to pay the ultimate price whenever God called him to do so. And it was then recorded in verse 14 that since he would not be persuaded, the team ceased and said, "Let the will of the Lord be done." As God's people, do we earnestly desire for the will of the Lord to be done? We see in Colossians 1, 9 to 10, Paul prayed for the Colossians. And he said, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in the manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruits in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." In another word, Paul prayed for the disciples in Colossae to fully know God's will in all wisdom and understanding, so that they will be walking in the manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruits in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. The story was told that one night, as the well-known Bible teacher F.B. Meyer stood on the deck of a ship approaching the land, he wondered how the crew knew when and how to safely steer to the dock. It was a stormy night and the visibility was extremely poor. Meyer, standing on the bridge, peering through the window, asked the captain, "How do you know when to turn this ship into the narrow harbor?" "That's an art," replied the captain. "Do you see the three red lights on the shore? When they are in a straight line, I go right in." When we ponder if it is our will or God's will, we would have asked ourselves the similar question. How do we know when to steer ourselves to God's will in the midst of uncertainty? To help us to have some handles in discerning the will of God, I would like to look at four green lights in reference to Colossians 1, 9 to 10, to help us to steer ourselves in alignment to God's will, so that when these are in a straight line, we can go right in. The first green light we should be looking at is whether to ask ourselves whether it is our way or God's way. Are we walking in a manner worthy of the Lord? When we are at the crossroad, wondering what's God's will for us, we need to ask ourselves genuinely if what we are going to do next will result us to walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord or not. Unless we are truly walking in his way, we may think we are doing things that please God, but be totally wrong. In the light of God's word and what we already know of it, are we obeying it? The scripture reminded us again and again that obedience is better than sacrifice. In Jeremiah 6:16, we see here that the Lord reminded the people in Jeremiah time, saying, "Stand by the road and look and ask for the ancient path, where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your soul." But they say, "We will not walk in it." The Lord is saying here that the right path for his people is the ancient old path, already made known to them. But the people in Jeremiah's time refused to take God's path. They choose to go on their own way instead. We face the same decision today as well. Do we choose God's old but true way and follow him? Or do we follow the new path of our own desire? Don't be mistaken. The only way to find peace and rest for our soul is to walk in God's way, already made known to us. The obedient or disobedient has serious consequences in the spiritual realm. When looking at obedience, it is important for us to remember that salvation is a free gift of God. We can do nothing to merit it. True Christian obedience flows from a heart of gratitude for the grace that we have received from the Lord. The second green light we should look at for is asking ourselves, are we pleasing Him in all respect? Is it our desire or God's desire? What do we long for in our heart? What is our deepest desire? In Matthew 6:21, Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." May we desire to please God in all respect. Let us come to God on His term and not on our own terms. Let us seek His agenda. Do not come to God just to rubber stamp our agenda and will. Be humble before the Lord. Surrender your desire to the Lord and He will guide and lead you. A.W. Tozer wrote, "The man or woman who is holy and joyously surrendered to Christ can't make a wrong choice. Any choice will be the right one." In 2009, I was offered a job in Dubai. Amy and I was excited, and after much prayer, we were convinced that God prompt us to serve Him in the Middle East. After settling down and adjusting to the new environment, we joined a church. We realized and were surprised that the international churches that were there are all very well established and have adequate resources with full-time pastors and abundance of capable staff. Initially, we couldn't see how our Lord can use us to serve Him there, and became disheartened. We make an appointment with a missionary and share with him if we could have heard the Lord's prompting wrongly to be in Dubai. His response was enlightening. He said, "Angel, if your heart's desire is to please Him and serve the Lord, even if you are heard wrongly, the Lord will redirect you." We also came to the realization that God's calling need not be in serving, but also includes waiting upon Him. We then learned to be still before the Lord and just faithfully attending services, adult Sunday schools, small groups meetings, absorbing the Word of God. More than a year later, a group of Asian believers approached us to start a couple study group, particularly to spur the men within the couple group to be more fervent and active in their walk with the Lord. Thereafter, the Lord gave us the joy of seeing lives change and how each member of the group grew in their walk with the Lord and enjoy edifying one another. Now that we are back in Singapore, we continue to see God's blessing to us in this ministry. We have a group of them actually coming back to Singapore as well, and we continue to meet and minister to them once a month to the studying of His Word. The man or woman who is wholly and joyously surrendered to Christ can't make a wrong choice. Any choice will be the right one. Next, we should ask ourselves, in seeking for God's will, are we focusing on our work or God's work? God's work in us is to build us up, to bear fruit in every good work, the fruits of character, and the fruits of new disciples. Our character is more important to God than the things we accomplish. Our character is shaped by the Holy Spirit manifesting the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in our life. It is God's will that we and those that the Lord has put under our care will grow in becoming more like Christ. The more we allow the Holy Spirit to transform us from within, the more we grow in holiness. This is the process of sanctification, which our Lord is continuously perfecting us. Lastly, we should ask ourselves if it is our knowledge or God's knowledge that we are pursuing. Are we increasing in the knowledge of God? Seeking God's will is fundamentally rooted in the Bible. God never contradicts to His word. Our faith cannot be divorced from the knowledge of the Word of God. We can't know His word unless we can't know His will unless we know His word. The only way for us to know His will and His way so that we may walk in them is through the Scripture. Keep growing in the knowledge of God's Word. When God gave us His Word, He has already spoken to us. Start with what God had already spoken. How else would we know if we heard is of God or not? A well-known advice given by Pastor Edmund Chan from Covenant EFC, whenever asked on how we know God's will, his response is, do what you know and you will know what to do. Our difficulty is not that we don't know God's will. Many of these are already made known to us through his word. Our discomfort comes from the fact that we know His will, but we struggle to do it. In conclusion, the fundamental truth at the heart of Paul's prayer to the Colossians is that unless we know the will of God, we cannot really grow in the walk with Him or our work for Him. We cannot please God unless we know God's will and walk in His way. Apostle Paul had demonstrated in this passage his full commitment is for the Lord's will to be done in his life. As God's people, we should seek to be sensitive to the leading or prompting from the Holy Spirit. This may come as a conviction of our sin, a call for our repentance, an assurance of Jesus, of God's love, or a call to action, to give, and to serve. We have the privilege to know His word and the ability to obey His will as well. As we genuinely seek for God's will to be done, by focusing on His way, His desire, His work, and His knowledge, may we be compelled by the Spirit to truly say, may your will and not mine be done. A quote from George Torah: to know the will of God is the greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is the greatest achievement. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray that you fill us with the knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we will walk in your ways, fully pleasing you, bearing fruits in every good word and increasing our knowledge in you. Amen.